Yeah, she's over there, and Mr. Rory Smith, and other step parish committee members, and Janet Glover, Miss Janet Glover, and her crews. They did fantastic work. And I really want to say thank you. And I met many of you already, I mean, maybe more than two dozens of people during the week, and I felt really welcoming. And I feel really home in this church. Thank you. Thank you. And it is my first Sunday, so I want to share a little bit about who I am and my testimony. So I'm a married guy with one wife. I think one is enough. That means I have one boss in my house. We have been married for 13 years, 3 months, and 7 days. It's going on. And we don't have a child, and we currently have foster kids license. So maybe in a few months or in a half a year, you will see a miniature of me walking with me. And I love to take pictures, especially selfie. Maybe after, yes, maybe after this worship, I'm gonna ask you, or you may ask me to take selfie, okay? So my name is Paulie, and technically it is not my original name given by my parents. And my original legal name is Hyun-Chul Lee. It's kind of tough. 13 years ago, my wife and I, we went to South Africa as missionary. We joined in a mission organization there, and we had more than 200 friends, I mean missionaries, from all around the world. And none of my friends, they pronounced my name correct. Oh my, so I talked to my father on the phone, "Hey Dad, they have problem. None of them can't pronounce my name correct. Can I change my name?" And I got his permission, so I go by Paul. And my favorite color is black, white, red, and blue. I love it. I love eating a lot. Particularly, I love steak. And I eat a lot of vegetable because I want to have more steak. Otherwise, I will have higher blood pressure and cholesterol, and doctor, "Oh, no, you don't do that." So I eat a lot of vegetable, steak. And I have been to many places, many countries, probably 11 countries, and I enjoyed 100 kinds of local food, and I did not have any trouble with that, except one, chocolate. Oh, yeah, I hear you say, "Oh, that might be, how come?" Right? And maybe some of you may think, "Oh, chocolate is my lunch, how come?" I understand you, but it is the way God made me. Maybe a small piece is really enough. But I really understand you because I have one just like you in my home. My wife, she is the queen of ice cream and chocolate. So she can have ice cream for breakfast, chocolate for lunch, and again, ice cream for dinner. Yeah, right. That's me and my wife. And believe it or not, I am an introvert. I'm an introverted person. Most of the people around me, they don't believe it. But it is who I am. However, introvert doesn't mean shy all the time. I just simply love being in silence, praying, and listening to music. Sometimes I get wrapped up in my own thought, and I just need time to recharge alone. But I know how to turn on kind of extrovert mode on when I meet people. But I'm not kind of mental disorder with the two personality. So I just turn it on. Yeah. I love visiting and talking with the people. And then simply I need some time off in silence. That's it. Even though I'm an introvert as a human being, I become a pastor because I love people. I love to see people praising God and working God's work together inside and beyond the church. That is me. That's why I become a pastor. And my experience of God is like Jacob's story in the scripture reading we have today. He's now on the way between Beersheba and Haran. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, Jacob, he's alone in the middle of nowhere, on the way to flee from his father and his brother because he was a liar. He cheated to get his father's blessing, which was supposed to be his brother's one. It was not his one. But he did. Just think about that. The wild wilderness. There was no hospital, there was no police station, there was even no people, just wild animal. No security guard. Jacob must have been afraid and lonely, alone in the middle of nowhere. But there, he dreamed. And he heard God's voice. And that was the moment he felt, God is there. He feels relieved by God's promise because he realized God knows his name. God has been always with him and guided him. Even when he did not recognize and realize that. I think that matches my experience and yours. We've been there. In a particular moment of our life, we feel nobody understands me. It's really tough. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. But even that moment, God says, I am with you. I am with you. In my early age, I had operations and surgeries 11 times because of my cleft lip and palate. And I came to understand the character of God through many of those operations. And to be honest, I was not a good son. I had full of energy running here and there. I love my parents, but I simply had too much energy running here and there. And one day, I had a surgery, another one, and I was moved into the surgery room, early in the morning, probably 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning. All of a sudden, I really wanted to see my father. I was 12 or 11-year-old boy. I really wanted to see my father at that moment. But he was not there. But in a few seconds, I fell asleep. Zig, anesthetic, and sleep. The surgery went well, and I was moved into the recovery room. While coming out of my sleep, anesthetic, my mother said, I kept calling my father. Unconsciously, I kept calling my father for about 2 hours. Dad. She felt really sorry because my father is a farmer and it was a planting season. And we knew he worked until the midnight of the day and he had a lot to do more. And we knew he was coming maybe the day after the surgery. And I knew that I really wanted to see him. But when I opened my eyes, What I have seen was my father. Exactly when I opened that one, that was the moment my father was running into the recovery room, calling my name. My father and I, we were holding each other and hugging each other and crying together. And at the moment, I don't know why, I said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." Just imagine that 11-year-old boy. Thank you, God. Maybe my Sunday school teachers, they taught me well. And we have Sunday school teachers, right? You guys have a fantastic ministry for the children. Likewise, I experienced the love of God in the most vulnerable moment. And I realized God loves me, and God loves you so much, and God is present. God is so close to you and me all the time. That is what I believe, and that is what we believe about God's love. And I believe God knows our name, your name, and my name, and God loves each one of us, and God is present in whatever we have been through, even in the most vulnerable moment. So some of you might wonder, why? Why did you become a pastor? So I talk a little bit about that. I love church, I love Jesus, and I love people in the church. Then why did you become a pastor in another country? Well, I became a pastor when I was 21. Yeah, in 1999, I was still a college boy. And then I did my military service for 28 months, and I came back to work at church, and I was commissioned in 2006. And 3 years later, I had a really, really tough time. I was betrayed by the one that I loved most. I mean, admired the most. I thought he was my role model as a pastor. It was so much painful. I couldn't do a ministry as a pastor anymore, but I couldn't leave the church. So I spoke to God in my prayer, "God, is it really what you want? Okay, I'm done." I stopped doing the church as a pastor. "I know you called me, but done. Enough. I will go to church every Sunday, but that's it. That's it." That was my prayer. I was lost and totally confused. And that was just 4 weeks before my ordination. So 12 years of my study and ministry, all of a sudden, I mean, to become an ordained minister, it became in vain. So I couldn't stay there. So my wife and I, we decided to join in another mission organization in Hawaii, not in South Africa, for having some kind of break. It was like a missionary school. We stayed there, read the Bible, and prayed for 9 months. And in that mission organization, every quarter, there were about 1,000 young adults who want to be missionaries every 3 months. That's amazing, right? That's a lot. So almost 40 people a year. And I met a lot of them, and I was surprised. More than half of them came from the mainland of the United States. Yeah, Hawaiian people call you mainland people. And more than half of them that I met, they didn't go to church. They left their church. I was literally shocked. They left their church, but they still love Jesus, and they still want to be missionaries. That is kind of out of my logic. I couldn't believe that. And so my wife and I, we started praying for these people, especially those who left their church, because church is really important for me. So we started praying for them. So here is. When I left Korea, I talked to God in my prayer, God, I'm done. I'm not going to be a pastor anymore. But 9 months later, God, is it? Is it really what you want? Have you led me to be here, working, taking care of the church? So by the way, there is only one mainline church in that area that was Kona United Methodist Church. That's why I become a Methodist at first. Otherwise, I mean, you could have seen me maybe in Presbyterian. But I love John Wesley and Methodism. I really love it. And here I am. During my faith journey, what I have learned was God has been with me and all the people of God, just like Jacob's. Jacob's story in our scripture reading today, no matter where we are and no matter what we have encountered and what we have been through, God's presence goes with us. Whether things are going well or very slow or to the bottom or really tough, at this moment, God is there. God is there. That is my testimony. And I love to listen to your story. Today I shared a little bit about who I am, and I love to listen to you and pray with you and walk with you in this faith journey so that we may live together, grow up in this beautiful church in Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord. Amen.